The scripture this morning is from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 7 through 16. The English Standard Version can be found in your bulletin insert, or in the bulletin. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended, is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Pray with me. Our Father, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you that it is a word of light and truth. And we pray that we would have eyes and ears and hearts to hear, see, and respond to your word this morning by the power of your Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of you have already remarked to me this morning about my rather pathetic attempt at growing a beard. I have to admit to you, this is just part of my lifelong attempt to overcome my insecurity of not looking my age. I was one of those kids who was always underdeveloped and never looked as old as I was, and so I desperately wanted to grow up faster, or at least look my age. I remember how terrifying seventh grade football was when there were classmates of mine that looked like gorillas, and then guys like me who looked like they just got out of daycare. In high school and in college, I was a counselor at a summer camp in the summer and would often, by parents, get mistaken as a camper. As a pastor, when I first started working here, I would receive all sorts of amusing comments from you all, like, and I quote, "You should really wear your glasses so you don't look like you're 12. Or, and this is another direct quote from one of you, "They let you preach to adults?" And then even my own children, just this week, yesterday, as I was contemplating shaving, my little Anna, 6 years old, said, "Dad, if you shave, you won't look like a man anymore." So I have always had great zeal and great desire to grow up. I say that this morning because it is the heart of God that we, as the people of God, would have that same zeal, that same desire to grow up spiritually. That's what God wants for us. We see this throughout the Bible, this passion of God that we would grow up. 1 Peter 2, "Like newborn infants, crave pure spiritual milk, that by it you might grow up into salvation." Colossians 1, "Christ we proclaim, warning and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we might present everyone grown up in Christ." And our text this morning, Ephesians 4, we are to grow up into Christ. Our theme this morning is maturity. Apologies to you all that you can't see the screen. But maturity is our theme. that God wants us to become spiritually mature, that it's okay for you at some point to be a spiritual baby or to be a spiritual child. Everyone is at some point. But God does not want us to be wearing spiritual diapers and drinking spiritual bottles forever. That His vision, His desire, His dream for us is that we would grow up and become the men and women of maturity that He desires us to be. So I just want to look at three brief things with you from our text this morning. First of all, why maturity is so important, according to this text at least. Second, what is maturity? There's a lot of notions of maturity, but what is it, according to this text? And finally, how do we get it? How do we become mature? So first, let's look at why maturity is so important. And for that, I'd really like to focus on verse 14, which is a purpose clause. You see, he's saying, so that. The reason I want you to become mature is so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Paul is saying that we need to grow up because otherwise, when we don't, we are like these vulnerable children that are being tossed about by waves and by storms. You can see his image there of waves and winds and storms. The image that I get, I don't know if you have ever read the book Life of Pi or seen the movie, but that's the image that I get of a small boy in a little boat in a big sea with all of these massive storms threatening to come upon him. Paul says that we are like these vulnerable children when we don't grow up, and the storms that threaten us are every wind of doctrine, by cunning, craftiness, and deceitful schemes. Paul's saying that there are all kinds of ideas, beliefs, philosophies, and theologies floating out there in the world that, frankly, are wrong. They're wrong. And there's all sorts of people in the world who are out to make money off of you, to catch you when you're emotionally fragile or sick or excitable, to recruit you to their cause. And if we don't grow up, Paul says, then we will be led astray. And one of my favorite comic strips is Calvin and Hobbes. I'm not going to read this to you. But one of the things that Calvin's dad always does to him is when he doesn't understand how to explain something, he makes up something to explain it to his kids. So here he is explaining to his son that the reason that the sun looks small when it sets is because it's actually about the size of a quarter. And then when he begins to ask more questions, he finally gives up and says, well, it's time for bed. Kids are so gullible. Kids believe anything. And if we don't grow up spiritually, we will be the same. We'll follow every new thing that comes along. You hear a sermon, oh, that sounds good. Hear a TV preacher on TV or on the radio, oh, that sounds good. Maybe I'll send him some money. Or read a book, that sounds like a great idea. We will be drawn into every new thing that we hear. What are some of these bad ideas, these bad theologies that are floating out there that we tend to believe? I'm just going to mention a few. We've got the gospel of happiness. You know, children believe that if it makes them happy, then it must be good. Kids would eat Twinkies all day long for every meal if they could. Why? Because it makes them happy. Unfortunately, there are many adults who believe this too, that God just wants you to be happy. And the way to know if something is good for you is to ask yourself if it will make you happy. Now, of course, the truth is that many of the things that make us happy in the short term, like Twinkies, will kill us in the long term. So this is a lie. The gospel of happiness is not true. There's also the gospel of comfort. Kids have no concept of delayed gratification. Kids don't say, I think I'll save this dessert for later so that I can focus on my main meal. No. Kids, they want something now. There's no idea that they have of going through hardship to get something better later. And adults who believe this gospel of comfort believe the same thing, that God's job is to free me of all pain and hardship and struggle now and to give me a life of prosperity and blessing now. This can be a gospel that promises freedom from disease and promises wealth and prosperity if you have enough faith, or it can be a gospel that really doesn't demand anything from you and that just confuses following Jesus with a comfortable middle-class lifestyle. The truth is that God often calls us to hardship. He calls us to go through struggles. He doesn't promise everything in the here and now because he wants us to anticipate our future hope. This is a lie. The gospel of comfort is a false idea. There's also the gospel of performance. Kids often believe that love is tied to their performance, that when their parents are nice to them, that they love them. But if their parents discipline them, then they don't. And those of you who have ever raised kids, you know what I'm talking about. Adults who believe this think that when they do well and when they perform well and they go to church and they act religious, that God will love them and God will answer their prayers. But if they perform badly or if they sin or if they don't go to church, then God must be angry with them. And this is a lie, friends. The truth is that God receives us by grace, not how well we perform religiously. And Paul is saying, if you stay a child spiritually, if you don't grow up, you will fall prey to some of these ideas or many others. And these ideas are propagated by human cunning, by craftiness, by deceitful schemes. Peter says in 1 Peter, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. We've got to be aware, family, that there are things and people and ideas and entities around us that are seeking to tip over your little boat and send you crashing into the sea forever. So because of this, Paul wants us to grow up. He wants us to become mature so that we can become the people of God and be protected from all of the things that war against us. That's why it's important. Second, what is it? What is maturity? Well, the world defines maturity in a lot of different ways. Yesterday, I asked my girls, I said, hey, girls, how do you know when you're grown up? One of them said, well, it's when you lose all your teeth. The other said, it's when you get a credit card. One said, it's when I moved to Texas. And I'm not sure why she said that. We don't have any family in Texas. The truth is that many of us define being mature in a lot of different ways, you know, making your own decisions, living on your own, being your own person, doing what you want. But the truth is, isn't it, that you can do all of those things and still be very immature. So what is true maturity? Well, Paul describes it in verse 13. Look at this with me. This is a wonderful verse. He says, until we all attain to the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, a mature manhood or personhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Let's just unpack this verse just for a few minutes here. First, he says the unity of the faith. Now, when he says the faith, he's not so much speaking about our personal faith in Christ. He's talking about the objective content of the gospel faith. The gospel faith, the good news about Jesus Christ that has been handed down from generation to generation. This is actually important to remember. That in this age that often denies the importance of doctrine, that there is actually an important aspect of our knowledge, of our understanding of right doctrine that is grounded in the Word of God. And this helps us discern truth from error. So that's a part of what it means to be mature. But he also, however, says the knowledge of the Son of God. Now, when he says knowledge here, he's talking more about a heart knowledge. He says in Ephesians 1, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ may give you the spirit of wisdom, that you may know him better, or that you may know the depth and width and length and height of the love of God. So Paul is, where first he was speaking about head knowledge of the gospel, now he's speaking about heart knowledge, that you would experience, not just in your brain, but in your heart, in your life, the goodness and the beauty and the loveliness of God's grace for you in Jesus Christ. This is kind of a foolish example, but I couldn't think of a better example. For years, I knew, not because I had been there, but because people had told me that the best donut in town was at Country Style Donuts in eastern Henrico County. Anybody ever been there? Yeah, that's a fantastic. If you haven't, you are really losing out on life. You better get over there after the service today. So, you know, for years, if someone had come up to me and said, where can you get the best donut in town? I'd say, well, I've heard it's at Country Style Donut. I had the head knowledge, didn't I? I knew in my head that was where you could get the best donut. Then I went there. And one beautiful morning, I got a hot buttermilk country style donut right out of the oven. And I'm telling you, at that moment, my knowledge of the beauty of donuts went down into my life and into my heart. And I moved from head knowledge to existential, visceral life knowledge of the goodness of the donut. Now, it seems like a ridiculous example, but what I'm trying to explain here is the differentiation of knowledge. That Paul speaks of the head knowledge of the gospel, that you are to know right doctrine, that you are to know the things of the gospel, but he does not leave it there. That just as in any relationship you grow in greater knowledge of the person, so in your relationship with Jesus Christ, you are meant to grow in the depth of your life experiential knowledge of Jesus Christ, that you would know his love, that you would know his grace, that it would sink deep into your life and begin to change you. Has that happened to you? Are you just a Christian up here? Or are you a Christian in your life, in your heart, as it begins to change you from the inside out? Finally, he says, maturity is about mature manhood or personhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What he's saying here then, is that just as you're to grow in knowledge of Christ, so you are to become like Jesus Christ, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Do you want to know what a fully mature human being looks like? Look at Jesus Christ. He is the most perfect human being that has ever lived. Though he was also God, he was the perfect human being. So to be mature means to be like Jesus in his character, his love, his servanthood, his patient endurance under suffering, his self-giving nature, his commitment to live for God. God wants us to become more and more and more like Jesus Christ. Is that happening to you, friends? Are you actually growing? Do you ever have someone say to you, especially someone who knows you well, hey, you are less of a jerk than you were this time last year? Are you becoming more loving, more generous, less angry, less controlling, less anxious? Do you see any kind of dynamic of change in your life? Because according to Paul, this is maturity. It is both knowledge of Jesus Christ, both head and heart knowledge, but it is also resemblance of Jesus Christ, that you actually begin to look like him. This is what I want us to keep in mind, church. We are a great church. We've got a lot of great activities. We've got a lot of great services. We've got a lot of great programs. But let's not be deceived. One of the most chilling verses in the Bible is Revelation 3:1, where Jesus says to the church of Sardis, "You have a reputation of being alive, but I know you are dead." May that never be said of us. May it never be said of us that we've got all these great programs, we've got all these great services, we've got all these great activities, but nobody's growing. Nobody's changing. Nobody's becoming more like Jesus. Nobody's growing in the depth of the knowledge of his grace. God wants us to grow up. So finally, we see why it's important, what it is, and finally, how do we get it? Well, there's many things that we could say here, but this is what I want to emphasize the most, that we see in this passage that it is a collective community process. Paul says that we cannot grow up by yourself. Just like a baby cannot raise herself or feed herself or change herself or nurture herself, so a Christian cannot grow up without the family, without the body of Christ. The world defines maturity as independence and self-sufficiency. God defines maturity as dependence and other orientation, that we would become more and more connected to the people in the family of God. Two specific examples he gives in this text. One is the spiritual gifts. Grace was given to each one of us, he says, according to the measure of Christ's gifts. And then he mentions some of them, and then he says, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. Unfortunately, the church often functions not like a body and more like a soccer game, where there's about, a few people running around on the field getting exhausted and everybody else is watching. That's how I often feel. But Paul's vision of the church is not a soccer game. It's a participatory community. There are no spectators. Everyone's in the game. Everyone has things to contribute. Everyone has gifts of the Spirit. And if we're going to grow up, Paul says, we need this wide array of gifts in the body at work as we use them and receive them from each other. Now, I could preach a whole sermon about spiritual gifts, and I have in the past. So if you want to learn more about this, you can go back and listen on the website, or you can get from Beth. She's got all these great tools to help you assess your spiritual gifts and what you have to contribute to the body. One of the ways you'll grow up and others will grow up is if you use and exercise those gifts. The other thing, though, that I'd really like to emphasize that he mentions here is that we are called to speak the truth in love. And in doing so, we grow up into Christ, who is the head. Now, when he says speak the truth, he's not just speaking of being honest. He's also speaking of being truthful, speaking the truth of the gospel, that we speak the truth about Jesus to one another in a way that encourages, challenges, rebukes, comforts, and exhorts. I am doing that right now. I'm speaking truth to you, but the pastor is not supposed to be the only one who's doing that. You all are those also called to speak the truth to one another in your everyday lives, in your everyday friendships, throughout our interactions with each other. We're called all the time to be speaking truth to and with one another. I'll give an example of this. Some of you heard me share this story before, but years ago, when my friend, my co-pastor, Don Coleman, and I were starting Easton Fellowship downtown, I was quite anxious about the whole thing, and there were all sorts of things I was worried about and anxious about and concerned about. And one day, as I was sharing some of my concerns with him, and we'd been laboring together for a couple of years, Don turned to me and he said, "Corey, can I be honest with you?" I said, kind of gulped. I said, "Okay." And he said, "You know what? Sometimes I think that you have never had to live by faith a single day of your life." I said, "Okay." And I thought about it, and I received it, and you know what? He was right. He was right, because he spoke the gospel into my life. He said to me, "Your anxiety is a symbol, a sign that you are not believing in God's grace for you. You think it's all up to you, and your anxiety is a sign of your control, your desire to control your world." So in that moment, he spoke the truth, but he spoke to me in love. He spoke to me not to tear me down, but to bring me up. And because of those words, I have learned what it means to live by faith rather than by my own power. And so when you speak truth in love, make sure that you are saying it in a way that edifies another and loves them rather than tears them down and makes them feel worse. And different ones of us will be challenged in different ways. Some of you have no trouble at all speaking the truth. You guys are the ones who call me up on a Monday morning and tell me what was wrong with my sermon. You know, you have no problem speaking the truth. But people who have no problem speaking the truth can tend towards being offensive or factious or divisive. Others of you have no problem being loving. It's those of you who come up to me after the service and tell me how wonderful the sermon was. But often people who are like that have a very hard time being truthful because they care far too much about what other people think. And so as the old epigram goes, truth without love is brutality. Love without truth is sentimental hypocrisy. We need both to be the family of God. We need both to grow up. And so ask yourself, are you integrated into the body? Not do you come to church once a week. You understand what I'm saying? Coming to church once a week will not integrate you in the body. But are you integrated into the family of God in such a way that you can exercise your gifts and speak truth in love to one another in a way that builds up the body? We need to grow up. So let me sum up. What is maturity all about? First of all, he says why it's important, so that we do not get torn up and tossed about by all the things out there that want to lead us astray. Second, what is it? It is growing in the knowledge of Jesus and his word, both head and heart knowledge, and growing more in the likeness of Jesus Christ, resembling him more and more. And how does this happen? By being in the body, by exercising your gifts, by speaking the truth in love, by helping each other grow. Now, let me just close here. I think there's always a temptation with a sermon like this, where I'm giving you lots of appeals and exhortations, that you would just sort of fall back on your own strength and try to work hard to become mature. The last word I want to say to us, friends, is that this gift of maturity is truly that. It is a gift. It is God's gift to us in Jesus Christ. That first, before we achieve maturity, we must receive maturity. We must receive the God's gift of grace. I love this quote from Irenaeus. He says, "In his transcendent love, our Lord Jesus Christ became what we are so that he might bring us to become what he is." This is the gospel, friends. Jesus Christ came down among us, took upon himself our immaturity, our sin, our rebellion, in order that he might give us the possibility to become like him. And that now, united with Christ and full of the Holy Spirit, we have the freedom to become like Jesus Christ, to grow up into our salvation, to become the men and women of God that he desires us to be. So let's celebrate that gift of grace. Let's receive it. And then together, let's grow up. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you that your grace is not just there to save us, but also to grow us. We pray that we would take seriously all of these resources that we have available to us through Jesus Christ and his Spirit. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.